Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by Christian Castain. And for the first time in a long, long time, we heard his voice way back in the early depths of August. It is Ian Cusick. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Eric, I'm back.
Yeah, good to know. Ian, of course, documentedly lives in a frat house. So he can't really record podcasts, but his frat buddies were like, "Hey dog, there's a party upstate. We gotta go get some brews up in Providence. Let's go to New Hampshire, buddy. They were like, "Hey Ian, come to New Hampshire." And Ian was like, "Oh, I gotta stay here and Skype with my girlfriend and go to the Broncos game against the Patriots in October." And that by the way, is how I envision Ian talking.
Eric, that might even be the worst New England accent I've ever heard in my life. But
listen, I'm walking here. I gotta get. Terrible accents aside, let's get to the matter at hand here. Last night, a fantastic game, not in New England, played in Los Angeles and San Francisco. Chris would argue with me, but in the 11-year history of Thursday night football, I really can't think of a better game than the one we saw last night. And I'll start with you, Ian. Some takeaways.
Well, Thursday night football, that I didn't watch all the game. I wish I watched more of it now that I'm looking back at it. It looked like it was going to be the shittiest game of the year. And meanwhile, here we are. Todd Gurley has a career performance. Brian Hoyer finally looking like a quarterback that played behind Tom Brady. I'm impressed. You know, the 49ers are 0-3 right now. I didn't have huge hopes for them, but going into this preseason, I thought they were going to look a lot better than they played, or they played better than they looked for a team that's 0-3 right now. The Rams, a sleeper team this season. I wasn't thinking too much of them, but that defense, you know, give that defense a couple years, and I think it's going to be an elite defense in the NFL. Offensively, I think Sean McVay, you know, three games in, this is a completely different Rams team. You couldn't even tell that at this point last season. I believe they were they 0-3 at this point last season under Jeff Fisher? Probably. I don't know. But I guess my biggest takeaway is both these teams look pretty good, and I think the numbers say a lot about that. 49ers got some stuff they need to work on. I'm not very faithful that in this NFC West, which is looking pretty good, I don't think the 49ers are going to do anything this season, but give it a couple more seasons. The 49ers, you know, this is going to be something bold, but I think maybe could be going back to the Joe Montana days if they do make the right moves.
Well, that's certainly high praise for the 49ers. I completely agree. A really interesting stat line. Within three games, the Los Angeles Rams have crossed the 40-point mark more times than in the entire Jeff Fisher era, which is crazy to think about, that Jeff Fisher never had an over 40-point game. And to see this offense now come into its own, Jared Goff I originally listened to the game because I don't have NFL Network, but when I watched it on Game Pass, I thought Jared Goff got kind of overhyped. Sometimes he held the ball too long, ran backwards instead of stepping up in the pocket. But there's a lot of potential. He made some really good throws to Sammy Watkins and Tavon Austin. And Tavon Austin is just speedy, quick, and very good for their running game. And I think they've got a really talented receiving core with Cooper Kupp and Watkins and Rodgers. I believe it's Rodgers and Austin. It's an incredibly improved team from the Jeff Fisher era, and it's too bad that the 49ers lost, because even though Brian Hoyer started out with a really head-scratching INT to start the game, toward the end, he had some just wild plays where he spun away from pressure in the pocket, broke a tackle, faded back and still made, I believe, the pass to there's a pass, go check it out if you have Game Pass, in the fourth quarter around the 7th minute mark. And Ian, tell me if you remember this, but Hoyer steps back, there's the rush, he spins away from the defender without going outside the pocket, steps in and throws to Marquise Goodwin on the sideline. They reviewed the catch and he dragged
back. Yes, I did see that. That was...
didn't bobble the ball. That was like... that was... I could not believe that Brian... there were a few throws that, like, the first throw of the game looked like Brian Hoyer, but there were, like, three throws in this game. There was the deep shot in the fourth quarter to, I think, also Goodwin. There was the throw to Garcon that was a toe-tapping sideline catch. And then Hoyer had, like, one really big deep bomb to, like, get them down to the 5 yarders, went to the 5-yard line when Los Angeles was starting to run away with the game early. But Brian Hoyer looked like Aaron Rodgers for about 3.5 quarters of this game.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with y'all, but I would say the defense, this shows how bad the defense of both teams are. I mean, we knew, the only thing we did not know going into this game is I did not expect Brian Hoyer to be as consistent as he was, besides the first pick he threw at the beginning of the game. But besides that, we knew the Rams were good on offense. We knew Jared Goff was legit. We knew Todd Gurley was legit, obviously. Like I said, the only thing I did not know is the San Francisco 49ers. Offensively, they were, especially Pierre Garcon, he showed up for this game. That's all I really say about this game.
I'd say that's a little bit deceiving, because for someone who just looks at who's looking at the box score, they might say that this game was not defense oriented. But I'd say that the defense got in Brian Hoyer's face all day, and even though they didn't have a whole sacks, they continually hit Brian Hoyer. There were a few hits that could have been called roughing the passer, even. And I think that it's more of a product of the Kyle Shanahan offense came into full effect for the 49ers. And Sean McVay is a fantastic offensive coordinator. At the end of the game, and I'm going to ask you this, Ian. At the end of the game, I know a lot of 49ers fans were pissed on the kind of non-existent pass interference offensive call. But I don't know if you saw this, but like
I did see this.
On their last drive, Celek in the end zone, there was one play where the tight end, I forget his first name, but Celek got hit pretty hard in the end zone before the ball was anywhere close to him, and it was a completely flubbed PI call. There was there were two missed calls that really changed the dynamics of this game.
Yeah, and you know, believe me, as a Patriots fan, I've seen some shitty calls that have just completely screwed us over in the long run. I'm not going to be salty or anything about anything, but my mind does go towards the phantom pass interference call on Logan Ryan in Week 12, I think it was, of the 2015 season against Denver. You're Denver Broncos, but I'm not going to get too far into that. Frankly, I think it was just part of it's all just part of the game. What I did think was rough was that offensive pass interference call. I was rewatching that again when I was having breakfast, watching ESPN this morning, and I didn't see it, to be honest. I thought it was clean. I think it was a clean catch. I thought that really screwed the 49ers, kind of put the nail in the coffin for good. But again, it's part of the game. Can't really do anything about it. I do think that they were screwed over, but yep, that's that.
Yeah, I would completely agree. My final point would be, if he's not already taken in your fantasy league, you have to get Carlos Hyde on your roster, and you got to start him every week, because, like, I get that this was Todd Gurley's I'm back game, but Carlos Hyde, throughout this entire game, was just, he was a beast. But
I actually not sure that you should take Carlos Hyde, especially with the teams that are coming up that you're that the San Francisco 49ers are about to play. You're playing a pretty good Cardinals defense. And then you have the Colts and then the Cowboys. I mean, up to the next week, Cardinals, I would not play Carlos Hyde against. You're not going to – you just don't – I don't think you need to play him. Go ahead.
Yeah, moving on from the most exciting Thursday night football game of probably the last 5 years to a much – more in my opinion, not a more exciting game, but a more interesting game team-wise. The Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos. The Broncos, of course, kind of a surprise of the NFL. I think that, but playing, they are playing away from home. I would say that this game's kind of a trap game for the Broncos, but I'm not sure how great that Buffalo defense is. And we're really going to see for the third week in a row how improved this run defense is against two of probably the best running threats in the league, Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy.
All right. Well, I have Denver winning this game. It's Marcell Dareus has been downgraded to out earlier today for this game. So that's obviously going to hurt this Buffalo Bills defense, which is already not that good. The Bills don't look that great this season. They did beat the Jets, but frankly, if you don't beat the Jets, you're not an NFL team. I don't see the Bills being a huge threat this season. I don't really see anyone in the AFC East being a huge threat this season other than the Patriots. But
yeah, I would agree. You finished.
Yeah, okay. So Denver's 2-0 right now. They've played some pretty good football. I don't see the Bills putting up too big of a fight, even though Denver's only favored by 3 right now. I see it being more of a 10 or 13-point win.
Yeah, I think for me, this is a prove-it game for the Broncos. If you really are still one of the powerhouses in the AFC, go into Buffalo and blow this team out. I'm talking like win by more than 2 touchdowns. One thing that has been increasingly concerning to me as a Broncos fan is for some reason they get these huge leads going into about the end of the third quarter, and then this even happened last week against Dallas, and I don't think people pay enough attention to it, but it was 35-7, and then suddenly Dallas marched down the field, and suddenly it's 35-17. And maybe it's a syndrome of Falcons fanism I've picked up from Chris, but after seeing how close that Week 1 game is, like, I just started getting flashbacks, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to be closer than it should be. For me, the Broncos, as a Broncos fan, I want to see them against a Buffalo team that's I consider these two teams equals right now. I want to see Denver go in and control the game from start to finish, blow them out. But I'm also picking Denver. Moving on to Chris, I'll let you start here. You have something else to say?
Yeah, I was gonna make my pick and stuff. I'm going to say the Broncos are going to win this by about 10 points. The Buffalo Bills are miles below the Denver Broncos in both offense and defense. This isn't even a close game.
Yeah, moving on, the Ravens and Jaguars, both in London. This is a shocking game to me. Like, I don't understand how the line is for Ravens by only 3 points. But I think that with this Ravens defense and Blake Bortles, this is a Blake Bortles gets benched game waiting to happen. I would be shocked if the Jaguars didn't have at least three turnovers within the first half.
Without a doubt. Yeah, this Ravens defense has already forced 10 turnovers this season. Blake Bortles, 31 of 55 for 348 yards and only two touchdowns this season. I don't know how many interceptions he's thrown, but it's going to be an ugly game. Jacksonville's offense, aside from Leonard Fournette, is not very promising. The Ravens' defense is going to be all over Blake Bortles. Jacksonville's defense is looking nice. You know, you saw how they beat Houston pretty thoroughly, but we'll get to that later with the Texans and the Patriots. But I think this is going to be mostly a defensive game with the Ravens coming out on top because their offense is better than Jacksonville's, and I think it's simple to say.
Yeah. Chris, here's my question. I have a question for you here, Chris. For Jacksonville, of course they run Fournette a lot. Against this Ravens defense, is there any chance that Fournette has another big day and this game is close?
No, I don't see it. You do have – I'm not really – the only way I could see this game being close is like you said, if – which you're not going to do – if Leonard Fournette has 25 carries and it's probably going to take more like 40 actually, maybe not 25 but I see no way that happens. Ravens are going to win by at least 15 or 14 points.
So you're taking the Ravens, I'm taking the Ravens.
Yes, Ravens win easily.
Ian, who are you taking?
I'm absolutely taking the Ravens in this game. Like I said, these defenses are both going to have a pretty good day. I don't think it's going to be a 14-point blowout like Chris is saying, but I definitely do not see the Jaguars winning this game by any means.
The only way this game stays fairly close is if Jacksonville basically keeps the Ravens to, I'll say, 10 or less points. If the Ravens offense shows any signs of if they show any signs of being decent, they're going to win the football game.
Right. I think moving on to another game that's kind of a sleeper, we're getting these bad games out of the way here early. Pittsburgh going to Chicago. This game, a lot of people think the Steelers can win it, but every year they go on the road and they lose to one of the worst teams in the NFL on the road once a year, at least. Is this that game? I'll start with you, Ian.
No.
No?
Simple as that. No, the Bears look like the Bears can make a case for them being the worst team in the NFL right now, in my opinion. I still think it's the Jets, but I think the Bears are definitely up there. The Steelers haven't exactly looked great this season. Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, neither of them have gotten a touchdown in their respective things yet. So that's a little bit of a question. But the Steelers are 2-0. The Bears are 0-2. Pittsburgh's favored by 7.5 right now. I see Ben Roethlisberger tearing up the secondary, which is a very questionable season. And, Steelers.
Yeah, I don't know if you keep it close at this game. I'm going to thank the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think I'm also taking the Steelers. I think it'll be close, but I would not be shocked if it's within 7 to 10 points. Moving on to just getting these bad games out of the way early. Buccaneers-Vikings, Sam Bradford ruled out. They always play well. The Vikings D always plays well at home. I don't really think there's much to talk about here, so let's just go around the horn and pick it. I'm taking the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Buccaneers by 28 points. This is going to be another blowout for the Buccaneers. This isn't even a good game. This game's going to be terrible. And the fact that Sam Bradford's out is the main reason.
Well, I'm not going to be as bold as Chris here. I'm going to say the Buccaneers by four. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be an all right game. Sam Bradford being out definitely hurts the Vikings. Buccaneers offense, I think, is looking pretty solid so far. Like I predicted, I think that the Buccaneers are going to be a sleeper for winning the NFC South this season. And I think this is going to be a game that's going to prove that they can beat a defense as good as the Vikings.
Continuing to knock out bad games, we have the Dolphins and the Jets. And I mean, the Dolphins did not play extremely well in week one, but it wasn't like they were terrible against the Chargers. For me, I think that this is a little bit of a trap game for the Dolphins. I get that the Jets are bad, but the fact that Josh McCown was able to score 21 points against the Raiders is extremely impressive. Jermaine Kearse looks like a decent wide receiver one. They're still the worst team in the league, the point could be made, and they aren't obviously going to make the playoffs. But I think this is kind of a trap game for the Dolphins, and that's why this is my upset of the week. I think the Jets win on a last-second field goal, and I think it's pretty low-scoring and close. I'm taking the Jets 17-14.
Yeah, this is my the Jets are my 0-16 candidate, the only candidate. No way. Miami by 7.
Yeah, I agree with Chris on this. Miami doesn't look great. They look good, not great. Way too many question marks on the Jets' offense. Josh McCown, he's like 37, and he's, you know, he had a decent game against Oakland, but let's be honest, Oakland's secondary isn't giving anybody nightmares. But, yeah, I can't pick the Jets in pretty much any game this season, so I'm going to say Miami 28, New York 13.
All right, still running down these lists of kind of semi-terrible games before we get to the really good stuff at the end. Bengals, Packers. For me, it's just a matter of, is Aaron Rodgers in one of the early season kind of slumps where we say, oh, he's not a great quarterback anymore, and he's struggling, and then he comes out and he says something like, relax, I got this, guys, like, let's go Wisconsin, get some cheese in us, and then they run away and he's the best quarterback in the league from November to mid-January. I think that the Packers win, but it's closer than people think because I think the Bengals' defense is pretty good. I'm going to go Packers by 13.
I think this game has a chance to be pretty good. It could be a trap game for Green Bay, but I'll give Green Bay the field goal win. Aaron Rodgers is in kind of one of his, I guess, his early season slump. I would say probably going to have about 2 touchdowns, but the Bengals just aren't winning.
The Bengals haven't scored a touchdown this season, which is, you know, I think if there's going to be a game where they're going to score a touchdown, it's going to be against this Packers defense. But frankly, it's not happening. The Bengals are not winning this game at all. You know, the Packers defense is terrible, but that offense, if Aaron Rodgers can get going against a defense that's good, it's pretty good, like the Bengals defense, there's just no way that the Bengals will be able to put up a fight against the Packers. So I'm going to say Packers by 14.
Moving on to the more meaty games, we will start with Ian's beloved New England Patriots. I didn't really think there was much much to talk about in this game. I think the Patriots will pretty much handle the Texans, but before the game, Ian was kind of like, listen here, buddy. The Texans defense is very good. You know, they shut down Mark Wahlberg is in a fan of those Texans. I'm seeing bad stuff in the tea leaf. My chowder isn't quite spiced enough. Like,
oh my
I don't know about this game, but I don't think there's anything quite wrong with the Patriots. I think my pick for this game, by the way, is the Patriots. I think they run away with it. They win by more than three touchdowns.
After what you went through, you better pick the Patriots. The Patriots.
Believe me, I am most certainly picking the Patriots. I just want to say, Eric, that Boston accent hurt to listen to. I'm actually cringing right now. But Texans are 14-point underdogs right now. You know, I saw how this defense works with, or like how this defense played against Brady in the AFC divisional round last year. They gave him fits. Whitney Merciless had a field day. Clowney had a field day. This Texans defense always plays tough against the Patriots. But right now the Patriots are favored by 14 points. I'm going to say it's going to be under 14-point differential. I think the Patriots are going to win something like 23-14, something like that. But
I'm going to say I'm going to pick the Patriots, but this could get interesting. But I don't think the Texans defense is there yet like it was last year in that divisional round. And if it's not there, then the Texans cannot win this game. They just can't. Their defense has to be basically perfect. I'm going to give the Patriots a 10-point win.
Interesting tidbit about the Texans defense. So J.J. Watt hasn't played against the Patriots in a while. Like, I think he did play against Jacoby Brissett in week three of last season. But J.J. Watt has never sacked Brady, I believe, because I believe I read this tidbit. J.J. Watt's played the Patriots, you know, he got drafted in 2011. He has never sacked Tom Brady in his career. And Marcus Cannon, the starting right tackle, I believe he is good for the game on Sunday, but he is also coming off of a concussion. So that should be kind of interesting. How will J.J. Watt react to this? Because usually Marcus Cannon is locking him up, making him a non-factor. But if he's not at 100%, J.J. Watt is looking pretty healthy, even though he hasn't gotten a sack this season. I think he's definitely a big factor to look out for.
This is a huge test for the Patriots, the offensive line. I mean, it really is.
So I think we all have the Patriots in this game by very score. Moving on, and I'll let Ian start here because he seems to think this game has some intrigue to it, and I'll let you take it away from here, Ian. Cleveland Indy, what do we got? Why is this an interest? Why should I watch this game?
This is the first game that I'm probably not going to be watching this game because it's the same time as the Patriots, but this is the first time since, I believe, week 13 of the 2015 season that the Browns have been favored, and the first time since 2013 that the Browns have been favored on the road. Granted, this is an Indianapolis Colts team that looks absolutely terrible, and the Cleveland Browns team, this is the best Browns team I've seen in a few years, at least since, I don't even know how long it's been since this Browns team that looks this solid, you know? This is probably one of the better 0-2 teams in the league, in my opinion, which is pretty bold. But, I mean, how many teams are good that are 0-2? I don't see the Browns making any big splashes this season, but I think, you know, maybe make a couple puddles with this Colts team. So, Browns are currently favored by 1.5, which isn't exactly a big line. But I see the Browns 17, the Colts 14.
Yeah, I would agree with a very similar score, but I don't know. I think this game's gonna look close, but it's not gonna feel close. I'm just not sold on the Colts either offensively or defensively. I just don't see how the Colts can win this game. I would take your 17-14.
I'll go with the Browns too. I think that they've had a rough week injury-wise. Corey Coleman put on IR with another hand in the second straight year. It looks like his year's done early, which is really sad because when he was playing in these first 2 weeks, they were very, very, they were very good. So I think that the Browns have to win this game. I think that they've been patient with the rebuild. They've done the right thing. They said, all right, we'll swallow our pride. We'll go 1-15. We'll be the laughing stock of the league. We'll stock up on all these draft picks. We'll make this trade for Brock Osweiler to kill some cap space and get an extra draft pick. This is a game you have to win. This is a game you have to win to show your fans and to show yourselves that we've improved. This team last year, we would not have beat the Indianapolis Colts if they with this roster. The Colts would have beat us. So I think that the Browns have to win this game. I think they will win this game. I think DeShone Kizer is going to take a step forward in this game after taking two steps back last week. And I got the Browns winning it 24-10.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree with that previous point. I just wanted to get that in. If there's ever going to be a game this season that the Browns are going to win, this is going to be it. That's all.
Yeah, I believe they can win. I started with very high expectations for this team, and they're really fun to watch, like I thought. But my expectation is that at this point is they win between 6 and 8 games. And if they want to do that, they got to start here. You cannot start 0-3.
Well, they have. Yeah, you need to. Honestly, in my opinion, if they're going to win 6 to 8 games, you have to win the next 3 games. The Colts, the Bengals, and the Jets. There's no excuses. Like you said, I couldn't have said it better. This is a must-win game. If you're going, you have to start somewhere, and this is the place.
Yeah.
And it needs to, in my opinion, it needs to be a convincing win.
Yeah. Moving on to Giants Eagles. Not a whole lot to talk about here, except for Ian. I noticed something very interesting. Generally, in this podcast studio, we're very against the Giants. Chris, I, and John don't think they'll win over 8 games. I don't think they'll win over 6 games. They have a very tough schedule, but you picked them this week to.
Wait, did I?
Yeah, you picked them this week to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Why is that, or was that just a massive blunder of?
That might have just been a massive blunder because I could have sworn I put down Philadelphia in this game.
No, you picked the Giants.
Okay, well, that is just a big mistake on my part. Yeah, that is.
So we're all in agreement here. let's hear it from you, Ian. Why does this Giants team suck?
The offensive line, for one. You know, you just saw that right tackle or whatever his name is, Eric Flowers, got absolutely manhandled on Monday Night Football. That hurt to watch, to be honest. Like, I played offensive line in high school. I was going to play it in college. I could not stand to see that guy. He just got manhandled by whoever came his way. Eli Manning got killed. I follow the Giants. They're all saying Eric Flowers is the worst offensive lineman in the NFL. And frankly, I think he made a case for himself on that that past Monday. So I think the Eagles are going to have a field day against him. Guys like Fletcher Cox, Chris Long. It's going to be a rough game, and I'm sitting here looking at the spreadsheet wondering, how did I pick the Giants in this? The only way I could see it is if that defense steps up, if Odell Beckham comes back and plays like the Odell Beckham we know, not the Odell Beckham we've seen. This defense has been extremely underwhelming for me. You know, you see one that has Landon Collins, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Janoris Jenkins, Eli Apple. That should be a top-tier secondary in the NFL, but they've just been getting burnt deep. They can't cover well. And frankly, Carson Wentz has looked really good this season. I'm seriously wondering how did I pick the Giants in this game? That's
yet to be determined. I think that you're right, but I think that the Giants' defense, this could be the game where they get back to where they were last year. I think the Eagles are going to win. They're my pick to win. They're from what you just said, even though you picked the Giants on the spreadsheet. No shame in flip-flopping here. We support flip-flopping, especially because you could have been something in the NFL if you continued offensive line play through college.
No, I couldn't have. But
listen, I told Mama that I could have been something in the NFL. You know, I said, Mama.
All right. You made your point.
I'll make you proud. I'm going to go do something. I'm going to be something. I'm going to be somebody, Mama. And then.
I'm getting tired of your shit, Eric.
went down, Ian. I believe your mother's dead, so condolences.
That is not a true statement. I've been texting her while we're doing this podcast. So unless she suddenly had a heart attack, in other words, Mom, who's been texting me?
Oh, well, I think you should send your mother this podcast because she sounds like a delightful woman, and like she would enjoy my Boston accent. So I think Chris, you have a point, but my major point was the Chiefs' defense shut down these wide receivers. The wide receiver core, although it's improved, against the best corners in the league, they aren't that great. I could see this being a close game, but I got the Eagles, and I think it's 24-10.
I have the same thoughts. If you listened to the podcast last week, I said the New York Giants were going 1-6. They're going to start 1-6, and I still stand by what I said. They're going to lose this game.
Are you going to lock it up in a big spot?
Yeah, this is a lock. This is the lock of the week, actually.
All right. You lock it up. Good for
Eagles
you.
Win by at least 10.
All right. Moving on to our you're chuckling in the background, Ian. Did I get too excited there about that lock?
No. It's I can definitely see this being a lock, but I'm
but
just.
You don't feel it. You don't feel. I am
feeling it. I see Philly favored by 6 right now. I'm still just chuckling because I'm wondering how did I pick the Giants. I'm wondering what my mindset was when I made these picks on Tuesday.
Well, save your lock if you don't feel passionate. The lock's got to.
I'm not saying this is my lock of the week.
Okay, good. The lock's got to move you, man. It's got to just. You, it's can't be manufactured. It has to be organic.
I know.
That's what we're looking for on the show, Ian. Organic matter. All right, moving on to Chris. A game that Chris tossed and turned over. He was down there in Georgia, and he was thinking, "Oh man, just he tossing and turning in the hot summer's heat, thinking, oh dear Lord, how in the world am I?" Pick this game between these Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. You see, I simply do not understand. I have the vapors, sir. Give me a fan. I must sit down on my couch to pick this game, and I do not know how. I will DM my good friend Eric Jensen late into the night asking him about game. So let me just ask you, Chris, why is this game so hard to pick for you? For me, it's I get how it's intriguing, but I think that both offenses kind of suck, but I trust the Panthers offense and more specifically the Panthers running game more than I trust the Saints.
Yeah, this game was really hard for me because I think it's a trap game for Carolina. Their defense has looked great this season. Well, they've looked good this season. I won't say great. But the Saints could easily end up making this a choke. I mean, a scoring effect. I mean, this could be a 30-40 point game, or, I mean, 35-32 type game. Just because we know what the Saints defense can do. I did end up picking the Saints mainly because of the trap game reason. I mean, and I don't think Carolina's as good as you're saying they are. I think they're a little overrated on the offense. Cam Newton hasn't looked the same this season. I'll give it up to you, but I think Saints win 35-32.
Ian, who you got?
This is my lock of the week, actually. Carolina's offense looks good, not great. Cam Newton is, you know, I think he's still kind of having a hangover from his MVP season and his Super Bowl loss. The Saints defense, you just saw how badly Tom Brady picked apart and just completely decimated that Saints defense. And I am not by any means saying that Cam Newton is anywhere close to the same level as Tom Brady right now, but I don't see the Saints defense shutting down Cam Newton because I think he's too good of a runner. The Saints can't keep contained that well. They don't tackle that great. You know, you saw how Gronk shook off like three tackles on that touchdown. Losing Greg Olsen hurts, obviously, but, you know, you got Jonathan Stewart, you got Christian McCaffrey, you got Kelvin Benjamin. Those are some tough offensive weapons to shut down, and I don't see that Saints defense doing it.
Yeah, I'm going with the Panthers too. And for me, if Christian McCaffrey's listening, Christian, you got to step it up in fantasy, man. I've been let down by you like 4 weeks in a row now. I took you pretty high, like fifth or sixth round. Like, you were supposed to be the Rookie of the Year candidate. I passed on Kareem Hunt because of you. So I think it's time for you to step up. That being said, I think the Panthers win, and I think this is a Christian McCaffrey breakout. I really do. I'm excited to see what happens in this game.
For me, this game could end up being a – This could make us feel like the Panthers' offense is better than what it really is. I could see us saying, "Oh, that Panthers' offense is underrated," and then the very next week we'll be wrong.
Moving on to two more little quickie games: Cowboys, Cardinals. I watched a game tape on Carson Palmer. I'm not ready to throw him in the grave yet and say he's washed up, but he's got to have a good week, and the Cardinals have got to beat the Cowboys. I don't think they will. I'm taking the Cowboys. Do either of you think the Cardinals can win this game?
No, not really. Both these teams have looked incredibly underwhelming this season. It's just been ugly. You know, that game again, that Cardinals-Colts, that was just... We talk a lot about terrible football games, but that was just rough to watch. I hate seeing games like that where it's low scoring and no one likes and no one does anything huge. And it came down to overtime too. Like, this was a team that 2 years ago, like, made it to the NFC Championship game before getting pummeled by Cam Newton. Last season they were in a rough situation in the NFC West, because the Seahawks looked really good, but they took a hit. But this season, this Cardinals team just looks worse than the 2016 Cardinals team. Cowboys definitely look like they took a hit. You know, when Ezekiel Elliott has fewer rushing yards than Tom Brady, there's an issue. In terms of the Denver defense, but Tom Brady had 9 rushing yards last week. Zeke had 8. I don't know how that ever could have been possible, but it happened. And this is someone coming off an NFL rushing title. And when you put up fewer yards than one of the least mobile quarterbacks in the NFL, that's bad. That's really bad. You got a problem.
Yeah, step it up. Yeah, moving on to Chris here. Who do you got in this game?
This is, for me, if I think Dallas could will probably win this game, but you have to watch out because I think the Cardinals' offense with Carson Palmer, they do have some pieces, including Larry Fitzgerald, which is aging. But we all know that Cowboys' defense just got exposed last week, and I can see them getting exposed again. But I can see it being a low-scoring game, 19-16 Cowboys.
Moving on to a game that is quite intriguing in my mind, and this was honestly the game I had this time picking all week, and I'm still going back and forth on it. Titans Seahawks, we're going to decipher this game with a little game of who do you trust. You're new to this. I'm going to throw out two position sets, and you're going to say who you trust more in this game. So I'll throw it to Chris first. Chris, who do you trust, the Seahawks defense or the Tennessee Titans running game?
The Tennessee Titans running game. Well, this is actually kind of tough, actually, the more I think about it. I don't know. That was hard. I'm going to take the Titans running game.
Yeah.
But with no confidence. With no confidence taking it. We all know that with Michael Bennett and all those boys, Seahawks defensive line is legit. And it has been legit for 5 years. I mean, but give me Titans run game, but like I said, it's very close for me.
Yeah, the reason I picked this, by the way, is because I think this is what the game's going to come down to, and I'll get to you here, Ian. But the Seahawks offensive line, we know they're going to be bad. We know that the Titans defense is going to probably dominate and shut down Russell Wilson in the running game and the passing game. And it's going to come down to an elite defense versus an elite offense. And I'll go last here, but who do you got here, Ian? Titans run game or Seahawks defense?
Well, you know, that's kind of like you can make a case for either one of them here. I'm going to go with the Titans run game because the Titans have a top five offensive line in the NFL. I don't know if there's really much to debate that. And I don't think I need much of an explanation there. You see how DeMarco Murray went from a mediocre Eagles offensive line last season to being one of the top running backs last season with the Titans. That and combine that with Derrick Henry, that's a dangerous running back duo right there behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Seattle's defense hasn't looked that. It's looked good, not great this season. They did do a good job shutting down Aaron Rodgers, even though they lost. But I think that they're definitely more of a pass-oriented defense. The running game is not exactly one of their specialties. So I don't think that DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry are going to have a huge games, but I think it's going to be good enough to give the Titans the win here.
Yeah, I think that DeMarco Murray is questionable for this game. A lot of people don't expect he'll play. Derrick Henry's supposed to get more of a workload in this game because Murray is dealing with a hamstring. And I trust Seattle more just because they're more experienced. I could see the Titans winning this game, but I picked the Seahawks. I think it's going to be one of those games where, Ian, like you said, no one does anything big, but it's going to be still an exciting game as far as defenses go. I think both of the defenses are going to be very good. I could see this going into halftime with a super low score, something like 6-10 or 7-7. And I'm taking the Seahawks. I think they'll score at least one touchdown. And I think Blair Walsh, my boy, sleeper kicker, called it from the moment that that we did the Fantasy Festival podcast. I said he was the number one sleeper kicker. Guess who was right? This guy.
Week three.
Listen, I think Blair Walsh is going to kick four field goals. It's going to be a weird score, but I'm taking the Seahawks. What would that be? 7 + 3 = 10. 10 + 3 = 13. +3 = 16. 19 + 3 = 19. So I'm going to take the Titans 19 22-7. Seahawks, 19-7.
Oh, I don't see the Seahawks scoring 19 points. Give me the Tennessee Titans, 17-14.
Yeah, I think Titans in a close one, 21-17.
All right. Moving on to not quite the game of the week yet. We're going to save that for last. And I think if you're listening, you know what it is. This one we can spend less time on. I was kind of peeved that this got the Sunday night spot. Raiders, Redskins, Kirk Cousins and that Redskins offense. They looked bad in week one. They figured it out in week two. The Raiders' defense isn't special, but the offense is potentially the best in the AFC. And I'm talking just as good, if not better, than the Steelers. And I think I make the argument that the offense is better than the Patriots. So, for you guys, what's one major thing to watch in this game? I'll start with you, Chris.
What was the question?
What's one major thing to watch in this game? Come on, man. Pay attention.
Besides the fact that this game should be on Sunday night, I don't really – it's really – can the Raiders offense hold up against that sorry Redskins defense? Well, there's not really much to watch for in this game. I don't know why it's on prime time. There's not much for me.
Who are you taking?
Oh, I'm taking the Raiders. By at least 20 points. I mean, this game's a joke for me.
Ian?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Chris here. That's kind of a mismatch here on the Raiders' favor. I think the one thing to really look out for is can Michael Crabtree put up big numbers like he did last week? Last week against the Jets secondary, he had a good, really, really good game. He had 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards, I believe. Can he put that up against, Josh Norman's going to be covering Amari Cooper? Probably. I mean, I don't see anyone else on that Redskins secondary going up against Cooper. So Crabtree is a wide receiver number 2 right now. He's actually leading the Raiders in receiving right now. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how the Redskins defense covers both Cooper and Crabtree, who both have potential to be a number 1 wide receiver in this offense.
Yeah. Moving on to what I'd say is the second most likely candidate for game of the weekend, our second to last game, the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Diego Chargers. I have been documented as being super high on the Chargers all year. I think that this game has the potential, even though the Chiefs' defense is good, to be a shootout all the way down to the fourth quarter. I think that for me, but I know a lot of people are putting the Chiefs up there as the number 1 team in the league. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I still believe even at 1-1, the Patriots are the best team in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that for me, this is a prove it game for the Kansas City Chiefs. If they really are the best team in the league, they should win this game and win it by more than a touchdown. But that being said, I would not be surprised if the Chargers kept it close, because even though they've lost both their games, I get that the Denver game was a comeback and they got lucky to score the 21 points. But against Miami, Phillip Rivers got into the rhythm and he put up some really good plays against Miami's defense. So I think that it's going to be a close game. Like I said before, I think it's going to be a shootout. I think Alex Smith is going to shock everyone once again. I think it's going to be one of his big passing games. I think that Kareem Hunt's going to have a big day. It's a really high scoreline that I'm setting here, but I think the Chiefs win 42-38.
I don't have as much faith as in the Chargers offense as you do. They've looked all right this season. They know they've had they had a rough patch against Miami. That their kicker, I forgot what his name was.
Ooh, Young Hoku, who the rest of the nation is rooting for this kid, but I'm rooting against Young Hoku. Let's just get this out here. And Young Hoku, if you're hearing this and you're taken aback and you're like, oh, what's this college kid who doesn't know anything about football talking to me? You know what? Why don't you go make a game winning kick? How about that? You know, if you want to come at me on Twitter, come at me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. But we can go verbal toe to toe there. So I'm rooting against you, Young Hoku. You took Josh Lambeau's job, and Josh Lambeau was a quality kicker. So
I'd like to mention that Josh Lambeau shanked one against the Browns, and that's the reason why the Browns won their only game last season. So maybe Young Hoku is doing a pretty good job as his replacement. But my whole point with this is that maybe San Diego should have won that Miami game. I don't know. Their offense hasn't looked incredible. But I see the Chiefs winning this in more of a blowout game. I'd say like 35-20.
Yeah, this game has potential. I think the Chargers are the best 0-2 team in football, but they just can't win. They can't find a way to win. I mean, something always goes wrong. But besides that, we all know the Chiefs are legit on offense and defensively. But this really comes down to me is this is going to be a close game because the Chargers keep games close, but they're going to find a way to lose. They will find a way to lose. It'll probably be by Young Hoku missing a game-winning field goal. I'll take the Kansas City Chiefs 27-24, and the Chargers miss yet another field goal to lose another game.
All right, moving on.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you out on the Chargers already, or are you still in?
Not yet. I'm sticking with my teams all the way through. I said the Browns could go 10-6. I'm still on that bandwagon. I believe in Cleveland less than I believe in the Chargers. I've rescinded the fact that they'll win the division. I don't think that happens, but I still see them as a playoff team. I'm not going to give up on any team until after week 6.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a faithful guy, you know. I'm not like you. I don't jump off picks like as soon as they sour, you know. I can't just be one day, "Oh, I'm all about you. Oh, you're not the right person to take this shot at because you were never on board with the Cardinals." But you've been pretty. Damn you, Chris. You've been too right about everything. So moving on to the game of the week featuring your team, the Atlanta Falcons at Detroit. Man, this is going to shock people. But right now, I'd have these are the top two quarterbacks in the league. I know that Ian's going to say, "Oh, what about Tom Brady?" Well, guess what? Tom Brady, I get it, maybe overall a better quarterback, but within a two-week span, Matthew Stafford has looked better, more impressive. Aaron Rodgers is off to a slow start as usual. I love what I've seen from Matthew Stafford thus far. I think by the end of the year, we're going to be talking about him as a lock, as a top 10 quarterback. And guess what? You know what doesn't look so silly now is the fact that I didn't put Drew Brees in my top 10 quarterbacks list before the season started. How'd that end up with? So I did get one thing right. He's not as good as you thought he'd be, Chris. But for me, this game was incredibly tough to pick. In my opinion, it all comes down to the running game. I think both of these teams have great passing attacks. I think both have very good defenses for where they were last year. I think both are very improved. I think you're going to take the Falcons here. My question for you is, what determines this game and what's the score?
What determines this game really for me it is, will the Falcons be able to get their run game going against this quote-unquote improved Lions defense, which I will still to me the didn't have much improvement from last year. They were still a legit defense. But if they can't get the running game going, this game could be close. If the Falcons get the running game going, this could be a blowout. But I'm not going to pick a blowout, of course. I'm going to pick, I think the Falcons will win by about 7. I would say 29 to 22.
All right. Well, Eric, I'd just like to point out that you said Matt Ryan right now and Matt Stafford are the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, and you said that I was going to think of something about Tom Brady. I'd just like to point out that Tom Brady right now has better numbers than Matt Ryan does, but we'll just keep it at that. In every category that matters, you know, he has more completions, more yards, more touchdowns, but that's beside the point.
Oh, please. That's all against the Saints. I know that that's the lame
excuse. All right.
That's the lame excuse to make, but, I mean, against a real defense, he was – I think the people overrate what that Kansas City game was. I thought he still looked good. He had that 20-20 yard pass where he went from his own 20 to the Kansas City 20 with
that was Bucks. Absolutely beautiful.
But, yeah, I thought that I don't think he's taken a step back at all, but I think that Stafford and Ryan have both started the season much better than Tom.
I'd be willing to bet that Tom Brady does not throw over 300 yards against this Texas defense.
I'm gonna disagree there. I think Tom Brady does throw for over 300 yards. 300 yards. We'll say 2 touchdowns.
Stay on top of gentlemen.
All right. Yeah. So this Atlanta game. Atlanta's favored by 3 points right now. Ryan, he threw for 252 yards and a touchdown last week against the Packers. Terrible pass defense. So that's a little concerning to me. I'm picking the Falcons in this one, but I'm going to say if there is a game this week that I'd make my upset of the week, this would be the game, because I think Detroit has potential to win this game if they play the game right, if they can take shots against Atlanta's defense, which with Vic Beasley being out, that's going to be huge for this pass rush. That pass rush is going to need to step up because Vic Beasley led the NFL in sacks last season, huge presence on the field. If he's not on the field, that's definitely going to take a hit to a pass rush. That's normally very scary. So I'll take I was just going to put it in my – I'm going to take Atlanta – or I'm going to take Atlanta 22-19. I'll take Google with the spread.
Yeah, I think that Detroit can – I picked Atlanta in our PSF column, but I'm going to flip-flop, and I'm going to take Detroit. And you know what? I'm so confident. I'm going to lock this game up. I think it's a lock. I think that Matthew Stafford continues his early run, I'd say, as my dark horse candidate for MVP. I think it's insanely close. I think it comes down to the last second, a kick between Matt Prater and Matt Bryant. By the way, Matt Bryant's wife favorited some tweets I tweeted about her husband on Twitter and was like, "Ah, oh, thanks for acknowledging kickers." So you're welcome, NFL kickers' wives.
Did she actually?
Yeah, she did. It was actually really cool. I was like, "Oh, thanks." I am the champion of kickers, but I'm sorry, Miss Bryant. You're a wonderful lady, and I think it's you just the bee's knees for liking my tweets, but I trust Matt Prater more. Former Bronco, probably my favorite, like, outside of Peyton Manning, probably my favorite Bronco of all time, just because I love Matt Prater. Trust Matt Prater more. I think that it's high scoring. I think that it's last second. Lions win 38-35. Any big last thoughts on the whole week?
I think it's kind of cool that Matt Bryant's wife favorited one of your tweets.
No big last thoughts at all? Nothing?
No, I think
not really.
Is all the games?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, I think we covered them pretty well. I mean,
yeah. Well, we will be back early next week. Ian, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Perhaps you'll be back on in December when your frat bros, you know, they're like, I must go see dearest mother at the country town in Yorkshire.
All right, we're gonna
eat some of her and eat some of her chowder with my Christmas presents and eat some figgy pudding with it. I must go back up to the Providence side of town and go back to my roots. Now, at this point in the year, your frat boy friends have decided, you know what, you know, education, very important. They've taken on a more scholarly tone. Also, you've been transported back to about the 1860s. So,
yeah,
it's basically going to be a good time. So, in that case, this podcast won't exist by December because you heard it here first. And this is, I'm going to lock up. A lot of people say the world's going to end tomorrow. I don't think so. I think we're going to be transported back to 1860. So,
all right, well,
with that being said,
if I happen to come back in December, hopefully that'll give you some time to work on your accents. And maybe they'll.
What are you talking about? You know, I'm just the street of Boston here, just taking on all kinds of stuff. You know, Tom Brady and those guys. How about them Pats? 6-for-6, 5-for-5, fight for six, 7-11-for-7. You know, it's a disease, and it comes to you as it comes to you. But anyways, we will see you in the case. If not, we of course will be back, hopefully with a way to transmit this to you by next week. Perhaps we'll be back in 1865. In that case, be prepared for some telegraphs, or I don't even think telegraphs were invented back there. Let's just go. No, Pony Express didn't exist either. Messenger pigeons. That's where we're going to go. So, for the great people at PSF, thank you for joining us on this wonderful occasion. I have flown back to 1865 to close the show. We will see you early next week. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. You can follow Ian Cusick at IanPSF, Chris at ChrisPSF, and me at Eric18Utah. Have a splendid good evening.